legendary words of Lou Gellerman. Hello, dog fans, and welcome to the Sound the Siren podcast, because everything matters, including, for the second time in 6 months, looking for a new athletic director at the University of Washington. I am your host, Hooligan7, otherwise known tonight as Yo Play All Day. I am joined tonight by Pie God, Mama Jamma, and DJ K Woody, or DJ AD List. How are you gentlemen doing this evening?
Excellent. Oh yeah, I'm fine.
So I heard ADs are a dime a dozen.
Yeah. Something like that, or the value of Midwest values is maybe a dime on a good day. Well, let's do beverages before we get any further. Pie God, what do you got tonight, buddy?
Well, it's a couple days after St. Patrick's Day, so I'm rocking a little Smithwick's Irish Red Ale, trying to clear out the Blarney Stone.
Mama Jamma, how about you, bud?
I'm sipping on some Gus and Bruno Canadian whiskey.
Nice. And
from the show Letterkenny, for those people who don't know the reference.
All right. DJ, is it a Claw Night?
No, man, they're all showing me up. I almost didn't make it. I forgot about it, but Hooligan texted me. So I didn't prepare for the happy hour pod, as we called this before, but I just got some water. That's all.
All right. Yeah, and I was on an earlier recording session and finished off a Great Notion Sports hazy IPA featuring the logos of the Pac-12 North. That was quite nice, but I have moved on and made the adult decision to move on to the Crux Fermentation Project Nomo. It's a non-alcoholic IPA, so got to work relatively early in the morning. So
non-alcoholic IPA.
To be chopping it up with you gentlemen. But not getting it too out of hand, despite the happy hour. and instead of stupid tweets, we'll do kind of a combined stupid tweets or stupid decision, stupid tweets, stupid decisions, stupid comments. I'm going to say the one that I have is not a tweet, but I'm going to just give out, major stupid award to guys that make decisions about job opportunities despite the interests of their wives. And that covers multiple people and in regards to the University of Washington. So cheers and fuck you guys to those two. how about you gentlemen, any stupid tweets or stupid comments or decisions to laugh about tonight?
I got one. So it's from George Reister III. Former Oregon duck player, now talk show radio host. Anyway, she was tweeting Jordan Reffitt. I'm not going to read Jordan Reffitt's tweets about UW and Oregon, but George says, in quotations, "Beat Oregon all the time. You won three in a row. Chill. It was fun while it lasted for y'all. It's going to be a while before you win again." And I've seen several of these, we're gloating about winning three in a row, but we've won five of the last eight, and we own the all-time head-to-head record. Like, it's not just three in a row; it's a lot more than that. And it's so funny; they're so confident. They've been so confident every time the last three games, and they're just gonna keep doing that. So,
I can't freaking wait. I'm not going to guarantee it. I'm not going to go that spicy this far in advance. But the absolute scenes that will be Duck Twitter if Jed Fish takes us in there and wins at the end of the season next year, it's going to be...
I might throw
a party akin to the end of Return of the Jedi and dance on the graves of Duck Twitter when that happens.
Do you have cool tree houses?
We could build them.
Oh, those got time. Real quick. But so the thing about their fan base is like they lose three in a row and they pop off even more than if they had won. I just don't get them. They're totally devoid of all logic and all reason. You can't reason with them because they're going to say something stupid.
15 in a row. And not like, and the minute you point out that UW was at, like, that's the thing is like, yeah, they had that long streak against us when we were at our statistical worst. And now they don't want to hear about 3 in a row, even though they were pretty close. Like, I'll give them credit. They've been a damn good football team the last 2 years. And we beat them three times.
No, we literally
there's a difference. Beat them at their there's best. A difference to this scenario.
Yeah, and
these two things are not the same.
Yeah, it was really nice of us to take a 10-15 year break at football too. You know,
let them catch up a little bit.
Todd and Ty and all those,
basically Todd.
Oh, well, yeah.
Don't remind me.
Yeah, so, let's get into it. So we're on the market for an athletic director again. From, I will say, best case scenario, and I've been thinking a little bit about it today, and, you got to love Softy and his passion for the University of Washington. I actually think that Softy's point and what Softy was advocating for today when he mentioned Todd Lewicki is actually works on an even deeper level than we even really have, than probably he was even thinking about at the time. In that, it's like we went and made a pretty big damn hire when we hired Troy Dannon in the first place. We made a big damn hire when we hired Jed Fish. Softy's got a great point that the one thing that Todd Lewicki hasn't done in athletics has been major college athletics. But the other piece of this is college football is not college football anymore, and we're talking about in an era where we're essentially talking about the professionalization of NFL.
Yeah. We need a John Schneider, not an AD, and that's listen, here's the silver lining, man. We're killing it in the buyout market right now, so
I think Coker had a really good tweet about that.
Yeah. I mean,
it was like 17 like million in buyout. Yeah, or
17 million. Like, good grief. So, we hire and let a few people go other places. It's going to pay for the stadium. So, that's the 4D chess.
Yeah. The only thing that I want to make sure is that we're not trusting Shohei Ohtani's interpreter with any of that money.
Yeah, that's problematic. So,
to say the least.
Yeah.
Did you hear Petros about that?
And speaking of problematic and not knowing, and here's the thing, and it's there's been some rumblings a little bit about it with DeBoer and what he was known to say about Seattle politics to recruits, but further. The lack of awareness from Troy Dannon out and out saying he's got no time for DE&I initiatives and goals. Like, it's one thing to have a difference in political perspective. Understand who pays your salary, what university pays your salary, and what city you live in and the environment in that city. Like, the lack of awareness is just stunning from this guy.
It's a state school.
Right.
It's like, it's going to be there.
It's a state school, and it's also a state school in an incredibly ethno-diverse metropolitan market.
Saying it's a problem to have that opinion, but to express that openly, or not like publicly, but openly to people around him, like, you don't, that's something you don't do when you're working for the University of Washington or a state school like that. So, yeah, that lack of awareness is what the key thing there.
I mean, it's good.
Yeah. You're hired by a female university president to replace a female athletic director.
And not to mention,
arguably the second most popular coach, or the most popular coach, depending on how you look at it, on campus is the women's softball coach, Heather Tarr. There's a little bit of like, man, read the room. So, that whole thing about, his family had never moved up here and everything, it's talk about an alarm you know, red flag, alarm bells, however you want to, you know, articulate it. You know, I was I was a little bit taken aback, you know, the TV interview I saw, you know, AMC, you know, saying, well, you know, I was shocked. And I was like, you know, on some level, I'm sure she was, but it's like, hey, it's been 6 months. Your family's still hanging out in New Orleans, or they're hanging out with family in Iowa or whatever. It's like, if it had been one of my employees that I recruited and hired from out of state, and 6 months later, their family still hadn't moved there, I would have been asking a few more questions. But that's just me. So, you know, hindsight's 20/20. But I definitely agree with Spencer Hawes. You know, let's talk about smart tweets. Trying to feast off these Midwest sensibilities because Don James was, you know, the dog father did everything to put, you know, modern UW football on the map. We got to move on from that, you know, and, you know, like he said, like, I don't want to necessarily hire a hustler, but we definitely need, you know, somebody let's hire Jimmy Sexton to be the AD. I mean,
maybe not quite that far, but like, I would much, I've said it on this podcast before.
I wouldn't hire that surf firm again.
Like Jed Fish's approach of saying like, this is what it is. It's not a whole song and dance like this. I perceive this as a better opportunity. If an NFL opportunity comes calling for Jed next year, okay. We're going to be killing the buyout market again. And ostensibly, for the most part, for Jed Fish to get an NFL opportunity next year, although there's certainly some interesting decisions that are made by the NFL, among others, for Jed Fish to move on to a, you know, bigger, better job, he's got to do one thing. And the secondary W that matters, it's win.
Mm-hmm.
And he wins. This is still going to be a very attractive job in a very, very active media market. And the fan base is waking up, and we have to continue to put pressure on Montlake Futures and the administration to continue to put winning in athletics and winning in football and all that it does to power the engine as a very, very high priority so that we don't get left behind.
Well, and did you guys hear Wilner on Softy today?
I did not.
Wilner seems to be of the opinion that the Florida job is going to open after next season. He was basically saying like their schedule the last eight games just doesn't make it so they can have a winning season at all. But to be honest, I don't think I'd see Fish living for that, although I wish his buyout was a lot larger after the first year. I'm of the opinion, hey, if we get 3-4 years out of Fish, great. But the thing, though, is he's going to recruit his ass off when he's here.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, you know, I love DeBoer on the field, but let's call a spade a spade. His recruiting was not it.
Yeah. Hey, if Jed Fish wins 10 games next year and we beat Oregon, you know, I mean, and we lose them to Florida, you know, at this point, you know, the DeBoer era has, you know, kind of changed my mindset about what the expectation, just understanding what the game is, you know. And I tweeted earlier, you know, Bull Durham, Crash Davis, you know, F this game. You know, I'm not mad at Troy Dannon, candidly. It's, you know, this is turned into very quickly an extremely cutthroat business. And well, we need my to get on thing, board with it.
My only thing is just the optics and timing. It just kind of makes it, I mean, can't we catch a break? Can't we just relax for a while? But it, you know, as far as like, and everybody's goes, oh, you lost Jen, whatever. Look, USC, how much did they pay her? Okay. Yeah. And
she'd also worked in the same university for 30 years.
Or
20 years, like it, like it happens.
But that wasn't, I still don't think that was the big loss that a lot of other people do, but
I agree.
But then again, you know, all the stuff that I heard today about Dannon, it just never seemed like a fit from the start. The fact that his family didn't want to move here, I mean, that's enough as it is. It's just like, wow, you're going to take a job, a permanent job, and hope that it's your last job, but your family's not going to move with you?
The tantrum, like, say what you will about Softy, and there's times where I don't agree with some of what Softy or that, but he is one of the primary mouthpieces for University of Washington Athletics and University of Washington football.
Mm-hmm.
And for having two eyes and the ability to read somebody's resume and say, hey, you know, there's a lot of moving around on this guy's resume. And he wasn't necessarily saying, oh, this is a bad thing. But for Dannon to throw an absolute shit fit, that Softy had the temerity to point that out on the air. Like, what the? Yeah. Like, that is such a small-minded, small-time, like, just whole, like, can you be any more impressed with yourself and your own
You think with an extra $850,000 on a salary, you could have bought a little thicker skin with that on his way out the door, so.
I'll say a couple things. Well, first off, I'm going to get to the athletic director in a second.
One quick thing though, DJ. Like, and if you think the UW fan base is intense, and UW media is intense, and hungry for winter and demanding results,
I said the same thing about DeBoer, Alabama, man.
Yeah.
I don't think that's why he was leaving. But going back to the Jetfish thing, if he left to Florida after 1 year, I know the landscape of things. I know, and I'm with Pi God. I do have a different view. I would be disappointed if it was just 1 year and going to Florida, where there's maybe 1 year, maybe NFL. But I hope we get him 2 years. If we get him three or more, I probably wouldn't even be mad. Maybe after 2 years, I might still be, but 1 year I would. But anyways, going with the AD hire itself, or not hire, sorry, with Dannon leaving, I was not as down as some people that I know were pretty annoyed and frustrated. I mean, I think... one of you all said it, like, the optics doesn't look good. I get that. But, I mean, how good of a AD was he? I mean, we don't know for sure. He was here for 6 months. They didn't rehire our coach that went to a national championship. I know, like, hardly anyone probably would be able to rehire him because he's pretty set on leaving. But that's still – that's on him a little bit. You hired Fish, which probably was one of the better hires we can make. But we don't know how good – for sure he'll be in the future, so you can't really say like that's a home run hire yet either. But I don't really care about losing him so much. It's just more so like, okay, it's not a good look. Is there some internal problems or not? I don't know. I don't know anyone in the AD office, but that's just maybe could be a concern for some people. But I'm not too worried about it.
It's really interesting. As far as people talking about Upper Campus goes, because if anything, I felt that Upper Campus really surprised me with the whole Big Ten move, to be honest. I was absolutely convinced that Kase was going to stay with the Pac, that they wanted to stay aligned strategically with the Bay Area schools and they were never going to leave. So, I mean, I think that showed that Kase was interested in what was best for university as far as that goes. But I mean, there's always been some type of disconnect. I don't think I was really worried at one point, and this was back in the Turner Emmer era, that UW was basically going to start going the Cal route. I've told people, I honestly think, and people can tell me I'm full of shit, I honestly think Cal is a sleeping giant. They just don't realize if they ever wanted to be good at athletics and football, they could be. Because the amount of talent that exists in the Bay Area, if they just kept all their guys home, they would be phenomenal if they cared. I mean, and even, you know, and Tedford had success with that. But the other thing, too, is that area is really fickle. They want you to win. I mean, I witnessed that with the San Francisco Giants. It was like that they sold it out, and then now you can't get anybody to go there. But, and that was my worry, was that our athletic department didn't do that. But I think that Casa at least proved to me, like, but who gives a shit what I think, that she was willing to go cutthroat and wanted UW on the big stage. Now, Wazoo and OSU fans want to rip on us because we're taking a half share, but we're in that.
Enjoy your $360,000.
We're getting paid better, but we're at the table. It's just like, if we would have stayed in the pack, we would have lost coaches, we would have lost recruits, everything. Correct. But no, we're in that conference and we're playing on the big stage. And that was the most important thing. And that's where Upper Campus at least proved to me that they were serious about it. But again, you never know. I don't have any insiders, so.
But I agree with you. And I think the indication and what we heard where for, I think, some of the stadium debt and or some of the deficits from athletics that came out of the pandemic were unexpected, you know, a revenue loss because of the pandemic, where Upper Campus stepped forward and I think Cal State probably had a huge hand in this and saying like, we'll assume some of this debt or cover some of this debt. Like, that's unprecedented in Washington history. There's no way that a Dick Gerberding or a Richard McCormick or an Emmert or any of those guys would ever in a million years have done that. To me, like, we, and the thing that I will stress to Husky fans, don't, as much as, and as crazy as this is and as frustrating as it is to go through, to be on, you know, we will soon have our third athletic director in the space of a 7-month period, a second head football coach, world. We will have a new head basketball coach at some point, which is another element that about this. This is crazy. But don't disengage, you know, stay engaged, stay passionate, keep writing to the athletic department, keep writing to President Kause, continue to pressure Motley Futures. They continue to have for us to remain at the table. And it's like, these changes are happening fast. Clemson's suing the ACC, like, the next version of what happens and where UW ends up in the landscape of this. And it impacts everything. You know, I certainly have some, you know, outstanding concerns that, you know, with the continued professionalization of college football, what does that mean in terms of covering non-revenue sports, both men's and women's? How do you make this work? And essentially, how do you operate in a business model that asks essentially that, you know, your football players are essentially reducing their potential in programs that don't make revenue? But like, it's this is going to be an ongoing challenge for the collegiate athletics in general.
Yeah, and stay involved. Go ahead, finish. I thought you're done.
Yeah, stay involved, stay passionate, make, you know, put pressure on the administration, put pressure on like Futures, you know. Results matter.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say you're 100% correct on all that, because I mean, in recruiting, is that what you're going to say?
But go ahead, yeah. DJ.
you can't let up, because I mean, everything happens so fast. Like, you, a one down year can be a setback for a while, and for revenue wise, especially when it comes to our university. And you know, somebody in our group chat, I'm not going to name any names, was like saying, "Oh, I'm going to stop donating money and all that." And I don't know, I responded by saying, like, I'm still going to donate or still going to contribute what I can. I mean, they're probably just frustrated, so I understand that. And you got to keep doing that. You got to keep supporting the team, the school, whatever programs you like to support. You can't stop just because something frustrating happens. You still should be a fan if you're diehard, especially. But one other thing I was going to say that someone mentioned it too. I forgot. I was going to touch on that earlier, was that, yeah, the one concern I do have a little bit is with the, we don't have a basketball coach. I don't know if this affects like who we hire. I know there's one name out there that was supposed to be, you know, pretty close to a done deal. And I don't know if this changes it or not. I hope it doesn't. So that is, I guess, maybe my biggest like current concern is who we get as a basketball coach with no athletic director. I'm assuming they'll still go through and hire even without an athletic director. But yeah, I mean, it depends on how fast it is. If it's going to be within a week, then they may wait. But I don't know.
That is. I gotta think it's got to be after the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be after the tournament. I was actually golfing over the weekend with a Utah State alum who was significantly worried over the things that go on top of cupcakes in some cultures. So, Mama Jamma, the interesting point you made about, Cal, right, is, and I think about our upper campus. I think Kase is slowly getting there. I still think the move to the Big Ten was, to your point, like it was kind of out of character. I was surprised and candidly impressed that that was the direction that happened. And I think it was the right direction. I was impressed by the Dannon hire when it happened. I was like, okay. So the question is, or is the upper campus getting there fast enough? And, I saw some opinions on Twitter today about wondering, is she the right person to hire the next AD? This is how fast things are going. And I don't, if we want to compete, I'm just looking at the top universities in the United States, right? University of Washington is rightly considered, one of the top 10 public universities in the United States. Candidly, so is University of Michigan. Cal is up there. UCLA is up there. Georgia is up there. The difference, and I think of UCLA is not who we want to be. Georgia is, is who we want to be.
Athletically. You don't want to be Georgia academically.
Yeah.
We can be both. We can be good athletic and academic. That's what you're saying.
It's true. Exactly. The schools you named. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. We can be. The question is that, will the upper campus allow us to be? Are they ready to pivot fast enough in this environment that we're in and embrace, Montlake Futures? I contribute to them. I think, DJ, you said it. I mean, anybody who says I'm going to stop contributing is probably reacting emotionally. And that is counterproductive. But is Montlake Futures, do they have a restraining bolt on them? Are they R2-D2 that has the Death Star plans, but, they can't leave Luke's little, hangar because he's got a restraining bolt on him, kind of thing. Are we holding back our potential? Is the upper campus holding back our potential?
Well, and I think to some extent, upper campus might have been a few years ago, and I think upper campus was certainly reticent of running afoul of Washington state law, but I will give, Governor Inslee and the state legislature credit in that they loosened the ethics restrictions and both Washington and Washington State University now have, like, athletic department officials for both programs now have the ability to help facilitate NIL deals. And we were, a little late to the party just from a state, from a state regulation standpoint, something that we weren't able to do, we now can. I think the proof is going to be in the pudding in recruiting, and we know what Jed Fish can be as a recruiter. The staff clearly can recruit. And if we aren't seeing results in recruiting, my first question is going to be looking at it in the direction of Montlake Futures, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Because, I think position by position, I think there are some questions. There may be a few questions about, who's on the staff, whether they've been able to recruit, our new defensive coordinator. However, given the personability and his appearance on the Chris Long podcast, I think Steve Belichick can recruit. And there are certainly guys on the staff that proven that they can recruit. And if they struggle, if we don't sign a couple of 4-star receivers and have to do, mid to high tier 3-stars at the receiver position, that to me could be an indication that something has gone afoul in terms of our NIL and our high school NIL recruiting strategy. I would also say that very much so in the defensive backfield, given what John Richardson has done and can do. And then you look at, you know, Vinny Sunseri and Robert Ball coming from Alabama. Those are positions where we absolutely should expect to sign a very highly regarded positional class. And if we're not, there's a deeper issue.
Does anyone have any, have anyone in mind that they want for the next AD? I know Hooligan probably has a couple.
I mean, names? Go ahead.
I was asking y'all.
It's you know, you're almost afraid now. It's like, oh,
that's when somebody wants to be here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's fair.
For 24 months at least.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know what that list looks like. You know, and you know, I would have said the TCU AD.
Is it Donati?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's put together a pretty impressive resume. Apparently, you know, attended, you know, PLU. So, you know,
was it PLU or UPS?
Maybe it was UPS. I thought it was.
I think you're right.
In Tacoma, but yeah. But, you know, somebody that has had success on a major level with some local ties, you know, it's. Yeah, I assume his family would move with him. Yeah.
I think Wilner was talking about the Houston guy today.
Yeah. He'd be, I mean,
and he was a finalist in the original search.
Yeah. He was, or I think the names that they mentioned that had interviewed in addition to Dannon were the Houston AD, I think is Chris Prezzetti or Stephanie Rempe, who's down at Nevada, who is a former longtime or for a while was here as an associate athletic director. I believe Chrissy Rezek, who is the athletic director at Delaware, and Ed Scott, who's, I think, a deputy athletic director at the University of Virginia. The thing that will be interesting from a hiring perspective, and this is coming in with a little bit of my own professional lens, as a talent acquisition professional, is the interesting thing is if you go back to one of those candidates, is there a little bit of a little bit of resentment from not getting the job the first time? And does that necessarily mean, hey, we, you know, or because of the circumstances and those optics, do we swing even higher this time? And so, like, you know, for me, like I mentioned, like, I actually really liked Todd's idea at making a run at Todd Lewicki and seeing if he has any interest. Obviously the Lewicki name, Tim Todd here in the Seattle area, with the professionalization of college athletics, would make that a very interesting proposition. Coker is definitely a great follow as regards to anything in the administrative vein in terms of other names to look at. Just to absolutely poke the bear or the wildcat. I think it would be hilariously funny to make a serious run at Desiree Reed Francois. Just be like, okay, well, you took your football coach, you just started a new athletic director. We'll take her too.
Weren't they mentioning their CFO too?
What?
As a potential?
I've heard the guy's CFO for
U of A athletics.
Yeah, for that,
I'm not around. Sure about CF. I mean,
hopefully he wasn't involved in that 200 million accounting error.
That's the one thing.
Yeah, if they can't carry the one, I'm not sure. You know, maybe give them a math test before part of the pre-hire screening.
What about that?
I'd be like, hey, I thought this was about sports. I didn't think there would be any math. You
know? What about Larry Scott?
Hey, listen, my selfish hire.
Really want to crater it.
If I went 12 months DJ, and just nonstop.
DJ, you're well known for. Oh, sorry, Pie God, go ahead.
No, I said if I went 12 months of nonstop Twitter content, let's just hire Rob Mullins and and just step on the duck.
Oh my goodness.
That would be funny. Or sad. And in that vein, Scott Barnes or Pat Chun.
Yep.
That Houston AD doesn't sound that Houston AD doesn't sound bad. I don't know where he's from though, so I don't want another Midwest guy. I don't know if he hired Calvin Sampson.
Midwest values need not apply.
All I want to know on the next AD is if their family has moved or not. That's all I want to know.
I mean, they couldn't find a house despite the fact that there evidently is a fairly nice one in Bellevue that was recently vacated by a University of Washington employee. But I saw that Redfin listing. It looks pretty. If they don't want it, I'll take it. If, you know, if UW wants, you know, I'll take the job. You know, President Calce, I'm, you know, I've got free time. I will say to move briefly off the athletic director, I do want to give a big, you know, big shouts to, you know, both UW baseball and UW softball for winning big series this past weekend. UW continues to own the Longhorns. That's dubs up, horns down. Despite a, I think it was 2-0 loss on Sunday, softball took Arizona to the absolute woodshed 2 days in a row. To whoever our new athletic director is, the sports and all Huskies care about all of these sports, not just football, but football is certainly very, very important.
Big series coming up. Our batters got tired, you know. They were making so much contact, they were wore out.
Yeah, cryo sleeves and.
I will admit something. This past week, I really didn't know that Jadlen Alchin was playing for UCLA, and I was really sad.
Yeah, it's a bummer. It really
that was like a grad transfer thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. You look at her Twitter, and there's a picture of her in UCLA, but it's all UW stuff. I mean, she's a dog. True, true.
Hasn't UCLA not been playing as well this year so far? I mean, I know they lost some games earlier in the year.
Yeah, I think they got run ruled by like I think Stanford run ruled them.
Oh wow!
Like badly.
Wow.
Noted softball power, Stanford.
Stanford's actually pretty good. Like,
Their pitcher is amazing.
Didn't they pick incredible. Up a transfer hitter too?
Taryn Kern. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stanford's actually legit. Cal actually is pretty legit in softball now. That kind of came out of nowhere as well. But yeah, UCLA
Cal goes up and down.
But, I think from a, you know, back to the athletic director thing, like, I mean, I definitely want to see us, you know, swing for the fences. You know, who we hire will definitely tell me how aggressive we're being going forward. But I mean, there's certainly, you know, stay tuned because the downtime is over, dog fans, because we've got spring football, softball's ramping up. There's just a ton going on. Any other thoughts on current state of the union in Husky land from you gentlemen?
Well, I just want to kind of quickly, like my initial thought of Dannon leaving to Nebraska, which was basically he's going for a full share is what for the TV deal. There was just more money, you know, and then you looked at his deal, cost of living there. But then once I heard, I mean, I'll admit I was upset to begin with, but then, you know, when I heard the stuff about his family and everything like that, and some of the cultural differences, I was just like, you know, I'm fine. I am not nearly as upset as I was about DeBoer. DeBoer to me was like a freaking stake in the heart, man. I mean, I totally bought it. He said I was all in on him, and I felt like I don't know. It was like the love of your life just totally broke up with you and cheated with your best friend or something like that. It was just that level of hurt. It was just like, dude, you were our guy. Where'd you go? But I think we'll be fine. I mean, everybody freaked out when Jen left. Troy did an okay job. He wasn't here long enough to really make a difference. He made a good hire with Fish. Maybe he botched the DeBoer rehiring, maybe not, but I'm always of the opinion that I believe UW is a second tier school. We're not a blue blood. I am not delusional in that. And there are certain schools that we're going to lose coaches to.
Yep.
That's just how it is. And you get those people that can recognize that they can do something here. And that what they do here will mean something to a very, very devoted fan base. And that's always the way I've thought about it.
Yep. I will say, on a related note to the DeBoer departure and what prompted it and the coach that retired and why it turns out, you know, he retired. I would like to say an especially big super fuck you to Nick Saban about all of a sudden, you know, all of these players asking him about, oh, how much are, you know, we going to get an NIL? And I'm like, yes, because you know, for all of the development and helping kids get to the league, Nick, you've put yourself at, you know, in real financial hardship and, you know, and you're basically destitute and, you know, some semblance of leveling the playing field so that the athletes that actually are putting their body and their, you know, their livelihood and health and well-being on the line get a little bit more income, and you're pissing and moaning about where college football is going. Again, super, super from the very bottom of my soul. Fuck you, Nick Saban.
Did somebody say, oh yeah, he and his wife had the kids over for whatever. And somebody was like, oh yeah, did they have that at their $11 million beach house or the $17 million home?
Yeah. And what's the name of Jemma? I hate DeBoer. I'm always going to be praying on his downfall. I don't care if that's a bad look or not. I don't care. That's what I'm rooting for.
He hurt me, man.
Yeah. It may be a bad look, but you're going to lean into it.
But the other thing that gets me about DeBoer, every coach that left said goodbye. And he only does it in freaking articles that are PR approved. It's just like, dude, just say thank you. God, is it that hard?
Way, way, way.
You should have said it. I don't want it now. He just
ghosted us. But it's way too late. I mean, Fish said it within 2 hours of leaving Arizona.
Yeah, you know, listen, you know, and the one thing I think about, just perspective, the AD, you know, Dan and leaving, he was here for 6 months. And you think about, you know, how strong the football program is. You know, the baseball program's coming out. Softball's been strong. You know, women's basketball, you know, had a dip in the middle, but they're closing strong. You know, they were playing hard. Look at track and field. You know, there's a ton to love. We have a national championship pole vaulter as a freshman. You know, I can't remember his name, but that dude that smoked the mile. Yeah, oh, yeah. He took some souls out of some people. If you watch that race, I mean, it was just like, oh, that one dude is like, he was just flailing and he couldn't get by him. So our athletic department overall, our programs are extremely strong. Anybody that comes in is going to get somebody, you know, just going to get something in great shape. There's some financial stuff to figure out. For us as fans, I've now, you know, the talk about DeBoer, Dannon, the loyalty piece, unfortunately, is done. You know, I am now Neil McCauley from Heat. Like, I am not going to let myself get attached to anything that I'm not willing to walk out on in 30 seconds if I feel the heat around the corner. So
great reference. You
know, I'll love them while they're here. If they leave, you know what? We've got a lot of great athletes, students. You can't, you know, beat the city. So we're good to go.
Just as long as you're not transferring your support to another podcast.
That's right. So If the person says they love pie, I might get attached again. I can't help it. Yeah. But, you know.
Have I ever cast any aspersions at pie?
No, I heard that Dan is a cake man.
Or has any member of this podcast ever cast any aspersions on pie? Yeah.
Fuck that cake guy. So
cake and corn.
That's right. He's from Iowa. So do you know?
No, apparently he doesn't
The most popular pie in Iowa is a sour cream raisin pie. Those people are ridiculous. Really? Exactly. So,
disgusting.
Hey, there's a Big Ten pie thread that's coming here closer to football season. So we're gonna
pie to each school.
I'd be remiss in asking, how was your March 14th?
Oh, it was good. Yeah, no, it was very good. You know, I was. I think Leah was more on the pie game than I was that day, because I was in the middle of the annual meeting in my company, and you know there was not a pie in sight, unfortunately.
Pie chart, actual pies.
Exactly. So I was living vicariously through other people's pie posts.
All right. Any final thoughts?
Go dogs.
Yep.
Go dogs.
Enough said. Go dogs. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with more. Thanks for listening and go dogs. You can support this podcast at podcasters.spotify.com/pod/show/soundthesirenpod.uw/support. Thanks. Go dogs.